Thanks, Ryan. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder.
Good God, y'all.
And it's James Brown. Every week, our friend Eric Zorn comes in and picks an adjective by which he would like to be described. And this week, you are the earnest Eric Zorn. And you are.
I'm earnest.
That's fair.
Focused.
It's
right.
Me, it's
serious.
Me, it's Ernest T.
Is that the same Ernest? Are you paying tribute to Ernest T. Bass?
Ernie, the son on My Three Sons, the brainy one, the one who knew right. The one who knew what a hypotenuse was.
Barry Livingston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Bill knows his real name.
Of course.
And his pant size.
His IMDb address.
All right, now you guys are rubbing it in. Now you've gone too far.
Is he still with us, by the way, Ernie?
Barry Livingston?
Yes.
Oh, very much so.
He's still living. Still.
Very much so? I mean, is he like really vital?
His book, he wrote a book a couple years ago called The Importance of Being Ernie, which I think is one of the best book titles
That's
of all time.
Title.
Isn't that great? All right, so we lost Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia over the weekend, and all sorts of controversy is arriving because of this man's death.
It's really interesting, isn't it? The Republicans came out right away. I mean, it was an hour or so after the news broke, and Mitch McConnell said, we are not going to entertain any nominees from President Obama. It's too close to the election. We're going to wait till November because this is too important a decision to allow Obama to have a role in shaping the court for a generation when he's on his way out the door.
Kind of makes sense.
Well, it makes sense if you are a Republican, sure. And if you look back through history, you can see that Democrats, when they've been in a similar situation, have urged them to wait. When Bush was trying to appoint federal judges, he didn't. It's unusual for there to be a Supreme Court judge, but certainly presidents are always appointing federal circuit judges. And there was this sort of informal policy in the Senate that they don't consider nominations after around June or July of the last year of a president's term, last full year.
But in this case, he's got 10 more months.
I guess that's true.
He's got 10 more months. And, you know, there's no exact historical analogy, but there are all kinds of examples where, for instance, there were justices approved in the final year of a president's term, but they were nominated in the year before. So they were approved. So, you know, you could argue it either way. The obvious point is that the Republicans don't want to let Obama appoint, because Scalia was a very important voice on this bench. He was the fifth vote often in 5-4 decisions that tended to be conservative.
Yeah.
And so if you let President Obama appoint a more liberal or progressive judge, you're going to swing the balance of the court 5-4 in that direction. And that could last for quite a while. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is old and is a cancer survivor and is someone who everyone thought she was going to be the next one to go. This death was a complete surprise. Scalia was on a hunting trip. He seemed very healthy. So the question is, do you take someone who is really was the conservative leader of the court and allow a Democratic president, as he's heading out the door, to appoint a liberal?
What's the law? Because that's what it should
be. The law, there is no law about the timetable. The law says, the Constitution says that the president shall appoint, and then the Senate shall advise and consent on.
Well, that's what should happen.
And that process normally takes several months. It's not the kind of thing that's
done. It depends.
Done.
It can be really quick. It's taken longer in the modern era. It used to take just a couple of days often. They would find someone, they go, oh, yeah, fine. Because it used to be seen much more as the president's prerogative. And they would just go along. Scalia was confirmed 98-0. When he was nominated by Reagan, this was before Bork. If you remember, Robert Bork was nominated, mm-hmm. and that was extremely controversial. And that was he was rejected by the Senate. It's unusual for the Senate to reject, it wasn't unprecedented, but it was unusual for the Senate to reject them in such a politicized manner for such an ideological reason that Bork was just simply too conservative for the Democrats to accept. And then if you also, I'm sure you remember the Clarence Thomas hearings, which were in the early 90s, I think it was, and Thomas, again, it was a prolonged, very politicized activity, and that was coming from the Democrats. They were the ones who were not saying, "Look, we're not your rubber stamp here. We want someone who is not that far out on the limb." Obama himself, President Obama himself, when he was a senator, really wanted to filibuster the nomination of Alito, Sam Alito. So the tradition of politicizing these appointments goes back pretty far, and so you can see. You can see why the imagine the contrary situation. What if John McCain had been elected and we were nearing the end of his term?
Right.
Do you imagine for a second that Republicans would be saying, no, we should wait until November. We should wait to have this. I mean, they wouldn't for a second. You know that for a second. You also know that if the situation were reversed the other way, that if you say a conservative president had been elected and Ruth Bader Ginsburg had died or resigned at the same time, that Democrats would be saying, hey, let's hold off
right.
Until the next president.
You so, probably mean Mitt Romney, by the way, not McCain, right? It would have been Mitt Romney.
Oh, would have been no. Well, it would have been the second term of McCain if he'd been elected in 2008, because he was the first guy to run against
okay,
Obama.
So
if he were,
I just think you got to go by the rule, whatever the law says.
The rule says at this point, if you're just going by the book, the rule says that the president picks somebody in the Senate.
Then that's what you do.
And the advice and consent thing in the Senate is they didn't want. It was like a check of the president's power, so we didn't just appoint a crony or someone who, you know, or a criminal or something.
Right.
It wasn't because they wanted to place an ideological test on the nominee, or, you know, check him for all him or her for all the opinions. But of course, that was the old era. We're in a new era now, where the Supreme Court is highly politicized. And you know, I honestly can't say as I sit here that I would be arguing differently from the Republicans if I were in their seat, if I were in their position, because it's like you say, well, there's an election coming up. This is the most important thing, I think, and I've been arguing this for months now, that the Supreme Court is a really, really important aspect of a presidential election.
Sure.
And that's, you should really, really think about that, because the Supreme Court is in a very delicate balance right now, and whether the Democrats win in November or whether the Republicans win, it's going to have a huge impact on a lot of issues. And you see the issues that are in front of the court right now. There's this big union case that is now kind of paralyzed. There's a big abortion case that's coming up they're supposed to hear. You know, these are issues that are central to people's lives. Affirmative action is another big case.
Can you put some headphones on? Because Ryan Burrow has a comment.
Yeah, I was actually just down in South Carolina covering the debates, and actually Jeb Bush was asked a question in one of his Q&A sessions by someone. It was regarding abortion, but I mean, he indicated that he thought the next president, this by the way came hours before the Scalia announcement, the next president could have to replace four perhaps Supreme Court justices, and I'm surprised more people aren't talking about that right now on the campaign trail.
Well, I think that was before Scalia.
It was a couple hours before.
I think that number four probably figures the next president will be a two-term president, which is not an unthinkable idea. Most of our presidents in recent decades have been two-term presidents.
Right.
So that number four was probably, and I'm not even sure Scalia was one of them. He was such a robust guy, but it is an old court, and so yes, that's exactly right, and this should be a big issue because there's so much of the power now is vested in the Supreme Court. You know, the future of Obamacare certainly was in the hands of the court and may still be at some point. Environmental regulations. There was just an environmental decision by the Supreme Court last week that threw a wrench into the Obama administration's plans. Immigration, the president's power. I mean, it is an enormously important institution. So I could easily make that argument that they should just wait. They should wait and see where the public is, whether the public is going to, because it looks like we're going to have a pretty far right-wing presidential candidate from the Republicans and a pretty far left-wing presidential candidate from the Democrats.
But when you say wait, you're talking about a minimum of 11 months.
Minimum, yes.
That's a long time.
Well, and remember, there's no guarantee, too, that it's going to be a Republican president, right?
Oh, not at all, yeah. And in fact, they're taking a big gamble because they're not only – there may see, right now, there's a moderating force, which is that if the Republicans in the Senate were to say, okay, we'll send somebody up, see who it is, President Obama would be motivated to try to find somebody who's a very centrist judge, someone who is not, you know, not far out on the end, someone who maybe both parties can live with.
May I suggest Judge Reinhold to you?
You may.
Oh,
you
my gosh.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy is very strong.
I thought she was already on it. That study said that most people think Judge Judy
is that true?
There's a lot of thought that says that the Democrats may take the Senate, which is a big gamble for the Republicans, because if they win the White House and the Senate, who knows who President Sanders or a Clinton.
Things just got real.
Yeah, it just got real.
It could happen
out
in Illinois, right? We could see with Mark Kirk's position.
Oh.
Tammy Duckworth, right?
Yes.
He's running against Kirk. That could...
Let's discuss this further in just a little bit. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. I know we have some callers on hold. Stay there. We'll do our best to get to you next. It's Bill and Wendy along with Eric Zorn on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder along with Eric Zorn.
The earnest
columnist for your Chicago Tribune. People are calling in and texting in at 312-981-7200. We're talking about Antonin Scalia. In my opinion, the coolest guy named Antonin anywhere.
What's with the Antonin?
I like Antonin.
Antonino, I could see.
Yeah.
Antoine.
Yeah.
Antonin.
His friends called him Nino, apparently.
Yeah.
So you could call him Nino. If you
I called him Ant-Man. That's my nickname.
Mary has called us at 312-981-7200, and some different theories out there. What is yours?
I would very much like to see President Obama be on the Supreme Court. Is it possible for him to resign the presidency at this point? Have Mr. Biden would then become the president, and Mr. Biden could appoint him to the Supreme Court. Would he want that? Is that possible? Would he be? Would the Senate approve him? Can you give me some advice? Because you guys are good, and I've been wondering about this for all weekend.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
We ask that you hang up and listen for your answer because your phone is kind of crackly. So
that would be a black mark on his presidency for him to resign to become a Supreme
Court. I think the Republicans would have a fit. Yeah. If he tried that, because it would call for him just to rephrase her scheme, is Obama says, I resign, and the new president, Joe Biden, says, and I appoint you to the Supreme Court. The Republican Senate has already said they're not going to go along with anybody Obama appoints. You think they're going to go along with Obama? I think he realized...
he didn't appoint himself.
Unless somehow they work out a backroom deal for that to happen. And the other question is, would Obama want that? I can't imagine...
You don't resign the presidency, for gosh sakes.
But he's got 11 months to go, and he realizes that he's probably not going to get a whole lot more done in the last 11 months. And for a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court, if the Democrats could all get together and do it, that might be a fun thing for him to do. He might enjoy that. I mean, it's a great job it would be to be a lifetime appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court.
William Howard Taft was the president who was put on the Supreme Court, correct?
But he didn't resign his presidency. That happened years later, right?
No, you're right. It was later.
11 months is a long time. People keep saying it. No matter what your job is, if they gave you notice or you gave your employer notice that you were leaving in 11 months, you wouldn't be allowed sit there.
You're right.
There's still tons of things to do in 11 months.
There are things to do, I don't think he's going to resign otherwise. I don't think there's any possibility of this theory. I mean, there are other theories that are out there that say, like, well, the Democrats might say, well, look, we will appoint a moderate Democratic senator. And then we'll basically give that Senate seat to you, Republicans, so that you have a much better chance of holding on to the Senate, and therefore you can approve. I don't buy that either, because I think the Republicans are just they're taking their chances here. They're saying, okay, we think that a Republican is going to be elected president, and we think that this issue is going to play well for us in the election. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think that the idea, especially if President Obama nominates someone who's an attractive judge, there are a number of names that are floating out there. If you say Hispanic or an African American, Loretta Lynch, Attorney General. She got an incredible pedigree. You say, okay, we're going to nominate her for the Supreme Court. We're going to watch the Republicans, all these white guys up there saying, no, we're not going to vote for her. I don't know that that plays very well to the electorate, especially if Wendy has a common sense viewpoint, which is like, hey, it's your job. You've got to give her a hearing. You've got to give us a reason if you're going to reject her, not just because she's not Antonin Scalia. So I could see President Obama putting somebody up, knowing that he or she is not going to be probably confirmed, but that being a real wedge issue. If the Democrats win the presidency, which I still think the odds are good that they will, because I think the way the electoral map lays out, it's very favorable to the Democrats.
In our mock election, Hillary won.
Well, there you go. I mean, we might as well call off the election then. And also the Senate, the Republic. If you remember last time, the Democrats were defending a lot of incumbent seats in the Senate. This time it's the Republicans that are defending most of the seats.
Yeah.
Meaning that the chances of a four-seat swing to give it back to the Democrats is pretty high. And especially if you've got some enthusiasm from the voters, if they're ginned up, it's a real crapshoot. If the Republicans figure, well, if we win the White House and we hang on to the Senate, then we can get a much more conservative judge in there. But
how did Scalia die? Because they say he was found dead. Now, I need more information.
I think they do. I mean, they're not performing an autopsy, was the last I heard.
Read the story. There's a couple of accounts of a story about the Presidio County judge named Cinderella Guevara, who pronounced him dead over the phone, which is not the normal way you pronounce somebody dead, but they explained to Cinderella Guevara what they were seeing in Scalia's bedroom, and then the pronouncement was made over the phone, and they were trying to decide heart attack or natural causes, and it kept going back and forth.
Well, heart attack is a natural cause, isn't it? I mean, isn't natural causes distinct from homicide?
Wasn't he
suspicious?
Hunting though? Is there?
He was on a hunting
there...
trip?
But no,
in
no,
a
he would. But
lodge
he would.
Anyway.
He was in his hotel room. He didn't come down for breakfast.
Yeah. That's...
So I mean, as far as I have heard, no credible speculation that there was any foul play involved.
Or... No one's saying foul play. They just thought, a lot of people thought it was a little unusual for somebody over the phone. I guess that's very, very uncommon for you to say somebody over the phone, here's what I'm looking at, and then they pronounce you dead. Normally,
you would think there would be a little more safeguard. Like, just hold up the phone. I don't hear him breathing. Okay,
right. Good, okay, that person's no longer with us.
Yes. Send a selfie of you standing over the body. Well, are we? Could he have had a gun in his room?
Oh no, I think
no.
I there's no suggestion of that at all.
Okay, it's just well, it's found dead is not enough for me.
Yeah, well, originally they said natural causes. It was changed to heart attack and then flipped back to natural causes. And this Cinderella Guevara.
Cindy?
I've never heard of anyone, aside from your Disney princesses, with that name. But they were apologizing, saying this probably could have been handled a little bit better. But
Gee, you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's out in a very remote place, right? And I remember reading somewhere that this is actually not all that uncommon. That what is Cinderella's actual title?
Presidio County Judge Cinderella Guevara.
Judge.
Yeah.
So a judge has to pronounce someone dead? That seems pretty weird to me.
Yeah, you would. I would think a coroner's job would be to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Or an EMT or someone with some...
Yes.
But no,
a governing body of Disney princesses would all get together and maybe Belle would say, let's give it a little more time.
I mean, it's very sad. I didn't agree with a lot of what Scalia said. He was a very interesting, entertaining, powerful writer. He had 9 kids, grandkids. I mean, it's a sad thing when someone dies, you know?
Sure.
Professor here in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, he was... And again, he was... someone who is extremely influential as a conservative thinker and judge. And he, you know, he doesn't have a ton of majority opinions that have his name on them, but a lot of his minority opinions are so colorful and so interestingly reasoned that people say that he's going to have a really long impact on lawyers and judges going forward because everyone loves to read his opinions and loves to get into how he thinks.
Sure, absolutely. Eric, thank you. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you a week from today.
Great.
It's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll check in with Steve next to find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.